Blog Talk Radio.
Jets will be taking on the Buffalo Bills in probably the game of the afternoon with the playoffs on the line. Welcome to the CNC Football Factory. I am your host, CJ DeSimone. I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Carlos the Fitzmagic Awakened Sardinus. And we have ourselves a very, very special guest, which I would like to bring on, our boy Daniel Feuerstein from Feuerstein's Fire. Let's hear it for Daniel. All righty. Daniel, what's going on?
Gentlemen, as the once great wrestler Ric Flair in these types of moments when he's so confident, so cool, so cocky.
Woo!
This is probably the best game in this short but sweet Todd Bowles, Mike Maccagnan era of New York Jets football. You're going to Western New York to take on the Buffalo Bills, who are 7-8, and the game plan is to put them at 7-9, go 11-5, and claim that last wild card spot so they can go to the playoffs for the first time since the former head coach of the New York Jets, who is now in Buffalo, maybe not for long, go into the promised land, gentlemen.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think Rex is probably safe for next year. But, you know, I'd like to put that final death nail into his coffin, if we could today, up in Buffalo. It's going to be tough. I think there's snow all over the place. We do have a bunch of Jets fans tailgating up there, so I hope to see them on TV today. I've seen some pictures already, so I'm hoping to catch some of us Jets fans, the green invading the Ralph, or as they say. So I'm looking forward to it, but God, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous. We were talking offline. I've just got that nervous feeling. It's not going to be easy, I don't think, even though it really should be. CJ, you had some stats you wanted to bring up, so why don't you enlighten the audience with some knowledge, since they're probably killing some brain cells right now.
Absolutely. Well, New York Jets 10-5, taking on the Buffalo Bills 7-8. Just a little stats on the Buffalo Bills. They rank in the NFL 12th on offense. They average 23.8 points per game. Defense, they're 16th overall in the league. They give up 22.8 points per game. That'll definitely help the Jets, no doubt. Passing, they're 27th in the league. Okay? They give up 360.1 yards per game. Now, that may take a hit a little bit with the New York Jets with the wind, provided that Fitzpatrick can stick to the short routes, the short outs, keep the ball moving. But rushing, though, rushing attack, the Buffalo Bills have the number one rushing attack in the league. They're first overall, averaging 154.6 yards per game. But interesting stat, which I bring up here. They're 15th overall in rushing defense. They give up 107.2 yards per game. Now, let me drop some knowledge about the New York Jets and why this is so interesting for them. The offense, the Jets rank within the top 10. Matter of fact, they're number 10 out of the top 10, 24.7 points per game. That definitely gives them the edge. Defense, they're 7th overall, okay? Their opponents average 320.2 yards per game, which is good for 6th overall in the NFL. That's a damn good stat right there. Passing, 19.5 points per game. They rank 11th in the league. Okay, so the Jets do not give up a lot of points, which says a lot about this defense. And the rushing attack, well, they're 11th overall, averaging 111.2 yards per game. But the other stat that sticks out, there are actually two that I want to bring up. They're first overall in the league in rushing defense. 87.5 yards per game is the average, okay? That I expect to go down, especially if they can contain Tyrod Taylor. And another interesting point of view is time of possession. The New York Jets, they're in the top 10 of time of possession when the offense is on the field. 31.2 is the average, okay, which means they do a good job. Ryan Fitzpatrick is doing a great job of extending drives, keeping the opposing team's quarterback off the field. That is an interesting stat because the Buffalo Bills, they're 23rd in time of possession. This may play into the Jets' favor as far as running the clock down, making sure that we could extend drives, and making sure we can turn those drives into points. Another stat that I forgot to bring out, the Jets are number one overall in red zone efficiency. So that could also play into factor. Guys, take it away.
Well, let me just say this, and I'm going to kind of err on the side of Carlos's cautions here and his concerns, because while those are great statistics you gave us, CJ, the truth of the matter is this. When the Jets go up to Western New York and play at Ralph Wilson Stadium against the Buffalo Bills, something screwy always happens. You guys know it. I know it. Something screwy always happens. That's the little air to the side of caution. Because while I do feel great about how I believe the Jets will go and get a victory here, you just got to be aware of something stupid, something silly. It doesn't matter how great, how bad, how exciting, or how fugly the Bills are. When the Jets go there, something screwy always happens. Carlos.
Yes, I agree with you, Dan. CJ, those are great statistics. There's a few things that, frankly, this is week 17 in the Ralph, like Dan was saying, which means something weird will happen, because every team that goes up there, something weird happens. It's damn near Canada, so it has to be a little weird. I'm hoping we can get a win. There's some key injuries, though. Buffalo is surprisingly healthy now in their defensive backfield, which I was actually not counting on. Most of the injuries they've had the past couple weeks with Gilmore, et cetera, they're pretty much ready, full strength, to cover Decker and Marshall and Anunua. It's going to be not that easy. The good thing is LeSean McCoy's out today, so I'm hoping that we could slow down Carlos Williams and Mike Gillisley. I'm telling you, man, I think it's going to be close. You know, look what happened to Baltimore last week with Pittsburgh. By all accounts, the Steelers should have destroyed the Baltimore Ravens, and yet they laid an egg in Baltimore. Baltimore was able to overcome them because of familiarity, and Rex knows this team very well. And as much as I hate him, he's basically been my punching bag for about 2.5 years on the radio here. He knows this team, and it's going to be tight. It was tight in MetLife Stadium, and I don't see any reason why it'll be any different.
I agree.
We win. And the other thing I wanted to ask, CJ, is did you want to try to sprinkle some of those stats throughout the whole show? Because I'm pretty sure you put everyone to sleep in the first 5 minutes.
No, not at all. Actually, I just wanted to get all of that because, you know, we're not going to put anybody to sleep. If anybody's not listening to this show right now and they're falling asleep after the first 5 minutes, you don't have a fucking pulse. Okay?
Right.
Everyone in the entire world that is a Jets fan is up, ready to go. They know those stats. They know the score. They know what needs to be done. The Jets are on the verge of history, okay? So we got all the boring shit out of the way so that way we could talk about the good stuff, all right? Like, yes, on the air a sign of the nervous caution, but you know what? Going into this game, there's so many shades of the 1998 New York Jets coming through. Yes, I know, no comparison, because the Jets that year went 12-4, but this team is on the verge of going 11-5 and punching their ticket to the playoffs. Okay,
and I'm agreeing with CJ. I think this is the Jets' time. I mean, look, if Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, I mean, obviously Mike Maccagnan did his job during the offseason, and he was able, whenever the Jets needed, players to be replaced, you know, either through injury or they released them, he's done a good job bringing in those players, and of course, Bowles has done a great job coaching. I mean, you know, he had to go through all that negative with the 1-5 stretch or the 1-4 stretch between the 4-1 and the 5 straight. So right now, Todd Bowles has done a great job. And, of course, he's going to go up there, and he's going to try and break the jinx as much as he can. And I believe that Todd Bowles will, because this is a team right now. They've worked so hard in these last 5, and they have an opportunity right now not just to go 6 straight, but to go somewhere since they haven't been 4 years ago. And if you think about it, if they win today, outside of Tom Brady and the Chiefs, who scares you at quarterback in the AFC playoffs? Nobody. Nobody. The Jets right now are the biggest underdogs and the scariest underdogs that these NFL playoffs will ever have if they do the job today. And even though you're throwing caution into the wind and you're erring on the side of it, this New York Jet team, yeah, we know Bilal Powell's out. He's been deactivated for this game. Ridley, hopefully, will throw some of that magic against the Bills and run for at least 10 or 12 yards a carry, hopefully. But right now, Chris Ivory's going to have to know this. And he's had a bit of an issue of juggling the ball while running with it and losing it. He needs to be a lot better today, not only running with the ball, but holding on to the ball when he is running, hopefully over 100 yards today if he can do it. Because right now, Chris Ivory, this is what he's been working hard on. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, the front five. I'm talking about Quincy Enunwa, who has come out of the blue and has made fantastic plays and made up making fantastic plays after bad ones. This Jets team right now is absolutely on fire. And even though I just saw a shot on CBS with Dan Fouts talking about that game, the field is clear, the seats are clear, everyone in Buffalo got their snow shoveling paychecks from the Pagulas and the Bills. Telling you right now, this is their time, and this is the game they got to do it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, playoff teams, they find a way to win no matter what. And you know what? If the Jets are truly a playoff team, and you want to know something? Pretty much the last 5 games that the Jets have played, they've played every single game as a playoff game. Okay, and Carlos and I talked about this off the air, because essentially every single game has been a must win. They've had to win in order to keep pace. And this is why I know that I've gotten a couple of comments so far on the tweet that I put out there earlier this morning, and I also put a poll out there for people that I want people to actually go out there and to answer. Okay, Heath Evans of the NFL Network, biggest douchebag in the fucking world as far as I'm concerned. Okay, said that all five wins up to this point for the Jets have been weak, and he's more afraid of facing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs than anybody else. You want to know something? Can this man be any more on Ben Roethlisberger's dick than he is right now? Can he? Okay, you have so many of these teams that talk about, we don't get no respect. We don't get no respect. We get disrespected. Does any fucking team in the NFL that gets disrespected, it's the New York Jets, okay? Because let's analyze their 5 in a row that they just won. Miami, that's a team they should beat. They're a fucking shit show. The Giants still had the NFC East to play for. They got their asses handed to them in overtime, okay? The Patriots still had something to play for. They got their asses handed to them.
The Titans.
Right, the Titans still had something to play for. I mean, every fucking team that the Jets have played up to this point has had something to play for. Okay, these are not teams that they just decided to roll into MetLife Stadium or the Jets went into their building and they just, yeah, you know what, we're just going to roll over. No, these are not weak wins by any fucking stretch of the imagination. None.
I disagree completely. I hate to say it, but those are pretty weak except for the Patriots. I mean, you got Dallas with Kellen Moore out there, whoever the hell they're trotting out as their 5th quarterback. Tennessee's trash. I mean, I hate Heath Evans, but an NFL win is not weak in any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, those are weaker opponents. That's a fact. They're horrible. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, the Jets handily defeated the Cowboys.
The Cowboys still needed that fucking win in order to maintain pace in the NFC East. Okay, so that,
Matt
by any
Castle
stretch of the imagination, that's
if
not a fucking week.
If we lost that game, we don't deserve the playoffs. I mean, come on. You saw the game at my house. If we lost that, we didn't deserve to be in the playoff discussion. We played against their fourth quarterback or fifth this year.
Right,
I mean,
that's true. But you know what? Another team's misfortune, okay, worked out to be the Jets' game. It doesn't make them any fucking weaker of an opponent.
See, this is what I'm saying right now, guys, is that while I agree with both of you, with your opinions and everything, the truth of the matter is this. If the Jets would have lost to the Titans, who are basically going nowhere, if the Jets would have lost to the Cowboys with their fourth or fifth string quarterback, if the Jets would have lost to the Dolphins at home, even though they're terrible and they don't deserve to get a win over the Jets, but this is the NFL. You know, on any given Sunday, even the best teams that look like they're one of the best teams, if you get a loss against a team you shouldn't be getting, you're going to get ridiculed for the rest of the season, and then you don't even make the playoffs. And then Bobby Bowles would have been like, all right, Fant Ryan, you're going to sit down. We're going to throw Geno out there. So all I'm saying is this is that while I'm agreeing with what CJ's saying and Carlos, I do agree with what you're saying. Still, though, in this game, if you are destined to make the playoffs, if you are doing the impossible and you need to finish it off, you got to make sure you win those last 5-6 games. And right now, the Jets are 5-for-5 with number 6 today. And even in this league, if you don't win one of those games to get to this point in time, then you don't deserve to make the playoffs if you don't win one of those last 5.
Right.
That's just plain and simple.
I agree. Here's the last thing I want to say on this, and CJ, I just wanted to bring a little bit of what I think is objectivity to, because, I mean, they are kind of weak teams, but we still won. We've been undefeated for almost half a month and a half, which is a good thing. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You play who's on your schedule. Here's the other thing I want to point out with Heath Evans or whoever, before we just stop talking about this moron, because there's more important things to talk about. You don't hear the same crap about the Redskins in the media, do you? Don't you think their wins are soft? Don't you think their schedule's trash? I mean, but no, they're being praised. You know why? Because they just don't like this team. And if you don't get it after 35 fucking years, then you just will never understand it. They don't like us. There's no point in railing against them. I mean, you're giving yourself a freaking heart attack for no reason. Who cares? Who cares they got us buried? Guess what? They've had us buried since week 9, and we're still here. And we're going to win today. Even though it's going to be tough, and I'm a little nervous.
Say it loud, say it proud.
Let me tell you something about Heath Evans. I don't give a damn what he says anymore. Let me just tell you about Heath Evans right now. I don't give a damn about what he says. He is a fool. He just doesn't like our team. He will always be on the side of Tom Brady, even though I enjoyed seeing him not smiling last week when he was reviewing that game. He can say whatever he wants, and he can say, because, look, the NFL pays him to say what he has to say, you know? Because the truth is,
Be fucking objective, okay? Don't just sit there and suck Ben Roethlisberger's dick on national television and tell everybody that you think the Steelers have the best offense in the NFL and everybody should be scared of. The Steelers couldn't fucking beat the Ravens. The Ravens were at 40% strength. This is a team you should fucking squash, especially with a playoff with the playoffs on the line. You had a chance to control your own fucking destiny, and they couldn't get past the fucking Ravens. The Ravens have nothing. Nothing. They had Ryan Mallett at quarterback. Give me a fucking break. You're going to suck their fucking dick.
See, here's the thing, gentlemen, is that the Ravens always get up for the Steelers. Why? Because they're such bitter rivals. The Ravens.
Well, yeah, that's what could happen today. That's what I'm worried about.
And that was the game I predicted to a couple of friends that the Steelers are going to lose to because they took them lightly, and at the same time, the Ravens, they said, oh, yeah, you take us lightly? Fuck you, we're going down the field. And CJ, don't forget, while he's got Roethlisberger's dick in his mouth, he's got Tom Brady's dick in the right hand warming him up.
Gosh, he is a foreign star today, man. He's got Tom Brady's cock in his mouth. He's got Ben Roethlisberger's cock in his mouth. He's got Eli's cock up his butt. Man, he is a star.
Wait a second, though. I gotta say one thing, okay? Especially with Tom Brady, while he's getting Tom Brady's dick all warmed up, okay?
Okay.
Here it comes.
Just remember something,
gross.
All right? The Jets had the Patriots dead to rights. Guys, listen up. The Jets had the Patriots dead to rights while the Patriots were at full strength on week 7, and we gave them the game. We gave them the game. Just imagine what the Jets are going to do to the Patriots if we get past today and we have to face them in the divisional round. Just wait. You think Tom Brady got ass fucked the last time that they played at MetLife? He has no idea what they're going to be in store for if we meet them in the playoffs. No idea. Todd Bowles is going to give that fucking man nightmares for the rest of his life.
Exactly.
Who, Heath Evans?
Both of them.
Or who, Tom
him,
Brady?
Tom Brady, everybody else.
Yep.
All right, boys, let's get back to the game here today. Oh, man. That felt kind of nice, though, just railing on and on. what do you guys think really is going to be the Jets' key to victory today? I mean, considering Powell's out, which stinks. And I know Chris Ivory worries me because he's not looked the same since for the past month or 5 weeks or so. But he's going to be the guy, and Ridley's going to have to be there helping him out. But we're going to have to be counting on Ivory to catch some passes and make something happen. He hasn't had that step, which I'm a little worried about. I'm hoping that he's feeling better and he doesn't look like he's running with sandbags around his ankles.
No, that's the one thing we have to be concerned about, and that's the one thing, you know, unfortunately we're going to have to worry, because we want Chris Ivory, you know, he's at 100%, he's playing, he's ready to go. He just has to hold on to that ball. He just has to hold on to that ball and just hold on to it for dear life. That's all he's got to do. Get in the end zone. Get as many yards as possible. Don't fumble it. Don't allow them to strip it out of your hands. Make it a part of your body. Run all the way down. I'm not worried about Decker. I'm not worried about Marshall. I'm not worried about Enunwa. I'm not worried about those guys, because when they get the ball thrown, they make sure they hold on to it, and they always get the scores. I mean, look at all the stats that this season has led up to. I mean, you're talking about Jets history that has been just destroyed left and right by both Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, and NFL history as well. I mean, who'd have thunk it? An NFL record, wide receiver tandem, catching touchdowns in the end zone in the same game 8 times. That is unfathomable. When was the last time you saw prolific wide receivers not just making grabs, and what is it, over 24, 25, 26 touchdowns between both of them in this entire season? I mean, my God, what is going on here? Has the Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan era really change things around for this Jets team? Are we finally...
If they haven't changed things around, I have to say they're off to a very good start. And just an interesting stat real quick that I wanted to throw out there. All right? The Jets in 1998 under Bill Parcells, okay, clinched the AFC East title in Buffalo. That's one. Two, they have a chance to clinch a playoff spot again today in Buffalo. Just an interesting factoid right there.
Yes.
All right, I had a couple things that we haven't mentioned. What I think is also the great narrative that no one's talking about, and it's the revenge of old fossil Chan Gailey, my friend, going back to the Ralph as the offensive coordinator for the Jets. He's not playing it up, but you know what? Chan Gailey deserves a ton of credit for turning this team into a solid, efficient offense. I mean, Chan Gailey deserves it all. He's facing his old team. I'm getting some weird feedback in my ears, so I'm not sure if that's working. And Ryan is facing his old team, too. Well, Ryan's
Let me just say this. When was the last time you saw Ryan Fitzpatrick, not only just in Buffalo, in Houston, in Tennessee, to have the type of weapons that he's had on this Jets team? Seriously. When was the last time you saw Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had that decent start for the Bills where they went 4-1 and then everything just fell apart? Look at what's been going on now.
Here's the thing, he's had some weapons. But it wasn't the same thing. He had Andre Johnson, he had DeAndre Hopkins, he had Arian Foster, and I think, Owen Daniels was gone. But still, I mean, that's some pretty good supporting cast, but he still didn't look like it looks now. It still does
not.
Right. So I think there's a lot to do with Chan Gailey, and it says a lot about Marshall and Decker and the chemistry this team's built up.
Absolutely. And look at how great Decker's playing. I mean, how many times people have said Decker's not going to be the same wide receiver he was in Denver because he had Peyton Manning in Denver. You know what? It doesn't matter if you got Peyton Manning in Denver. If you have a quarterback who has enough guile, has enough smarts, that has enough in his arm to get Decker the ball and to get him his necessary touchdowns, you know what? Eric Decker's looking for like a pretty damn good wide receiver with Brandon Marshall. So don't give me the whole Peyton Manning baloney. You know, that he left Denver for the wrong reasons. He is making a difference out there in his second season with the Jets, and my God, it's looking fantastic.
Yep,
so I want to ask you guys, I had one thing to talk about, because we have some precedent to look at. We had a game earlier this year in MetLife, obviously, Jets versus Buffalo, Thursday Night Football, Rex coming back to MetLife, blah, 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 suck on toes, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we had all that going on, and we saw the Jets come out in the first quarter firing, just gunning down the field And there were some bad drops and stuff like that. Things didn't work out our way. But, I mean, if some things had connected there, it really could have gone in our favor really quickly. My question to both of you is, do you think we take that same approach against Buffalo to start the game when we do get the ball, or do you think we try to bounce it a little bit more, get Ivory rolling early? I'd love both of your thoughts. I'm not even sure where I fall on this one. I just wanted to hear what you guys think.
So, Dan, you being our esteemed guest, you go first.
Oh, that's fine, sure. Well, I will say this then. If the Jets want the ball first, I say go for it. I say go take the ball first. You want to get the Ivory rolling? Absolutely, then. If you want the ball first, you tell them, you know, if we win the toss, that we'll take the ball first. If the Bills win the toss, you know they'll defer and you get the ball first. So I say why not? Take the ball. Go with it. Let the Bills know you mean business on the first possession. Let them know that you're up there and you are not going to take what they're going to give you. You're going to let them know you're dictating this game and you're going to shove it right down their fucking throats.
All right. So, CJ, what do you think? I was asking, do you think we take the approach of launching it through the air a ton, try to get more balance, or just really pound it down their throat with Ivory? What do you think we do? What do you think we should do?
I think right now, I think you start off with the run, because remember, your run is going to set up the pass. You also want Fitzpatrick to take a couple of shots down the field because you want to see exactly how he's going to be able to handle the ball through the air. I think you're going to see a lot more balanced approach, but I still want to see the Jets become aggressive. I want to see them go out there. I want to see them drive this ball down the field. And, again, this is one of those games where if you deliver the kill shot by halftime, you could break their will.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow, the lady's telling us we don't only have a minute and a half. So, hey, Dan, why don't you give everyone your contact information before we try to head out of here in a kind of calm manner?
Absolutely. Of course, on Twitter, at capital letter D, capital letter F, lowercase EUER. S is in Sam, T-E-I-N, the Jets podcast on fans' favorite, which is blogtalkradio.com/Jets-fans-favorite. And, of course, getting ready for the MLS season very soon this coming March, blogtalkradio.com/4YearSteensFire. So, gentlemen, let's go Jets. Let's get to the promised land, and then we'll worry about who they will face in the wild card round in the playoffs.
All right, absolutely.
All right,
Dan, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
CJ, man, we've got only a little bit of time left. All I'm going to say is this. Jets better freaking win, because the next show we do, we better be talking about the playoffs. I don't want to be basically having a eulogy next week, so we better win this one. Let's start off 2016 the right way. Bro, take us home.
You got it. All righty. This has been the CNC Football Factory. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're going to leave you with a little bit of Fort Minor. Let's go, Jets.
Let's go.